Having been ushered into worship with this beautiful music, it is my joy to welcome you to this time of worship together and to thank God for this beautiful day that we've been given and the opportunity to gather for worship. I'd like to invite all of us who are in this hour of worship to take a moment to register our attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser. You should be able to see that on your screen. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row that you can pass down and back again. Or there's also a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan, and that will take you to a place where you can register your attendance. You can offer prayer concerns, you can make an offering, several different ways to participate in worship through that QR code. We have several announcements this morning, lots of things going on in this first week and a half of Lent. I would encourage you to read through all the announcements in the bulletin as well, but I want to highlight a couple of things. On Wednesday at 6 p.m., we will have our gathering. This was supposed to be when we had the snow, so we had to reschedule, but there will be a gathering for those who are interested in small groups, spiritual formation groups for adults, and that gathering will be at 6 p.m. in McWhorter. And if you're at all interested in perhaps maybe participating in a small group, we encourage you to come and learn more about that. Next Sunday, during the Sunday School Hour at 9:45 in McWhorter, we'll have a training around our new database system called Realm. And this is going to be our new directory. It's a whole new world that we're living in, and we want everybody to be trained and aware of how this works. It's a great app. We've been using it on the staff for a long time. So if you'd like to learn more about that, next Sunday at 9:45 in McWhorter. The following Saturday, March 2nd, is our great day of service. We had this last year. We had 70 or 80 folks, maybe more than that, signed up. And then again, it will be at Glencliff United Methodist Church, where there will be lots of different opportunities to serve. So I invite you to go to the website and pick out which activity you'd like to help with next Saturday from 9 to 12. Over that same weekend, our youth will be participating in the 30-hour famine, and that is a fundraiser for several ministries, so take a look at that information in the bulletin as well, and think about supporting them and making a donation to the ministry that they're taking part of there. This is our first Sunday of Lent, and the prophet Micah is guiding us with the invitation to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. So with that invitation, let us open our hearts to this time of worship together.
Thank you. Good morning, West End family. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Like a beloved friend who brings us into our truest selves, from near and far, you call us home to you. O Lord, we return to you, joyful hearts. Like a mother hen folding us into her flock, you gather us in grace. O Lord, we return to you with joyful hearts. Let us worship our God with thanksgiving and praise, with the assurance of God's mercy that delivers us to live a better way, let us confess our sin. God of abundance, you gift us with immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, and yet we want more. Forgive us the ways we have pursued profit over your presence, the accumulation of more at the expense of our neighbors flourishing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, turn over the money tables in our hearts, that we might live justly and walk humbly as we follow in the steps of Jesus. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be weighed down by the sins and worries of this life, but watch and pray for the grace of God who will save you in your time of trial." As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. The great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Daniel Page and Hannah Fletcher Page bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
And you have also brought a friend with you, Reverend Nancy Hawthorne Parker, who all of us know from West End Days. And we are so glad to celebrate this baptism with you, Nancy. Welcome. My friends in Christ, my family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Daniel and Hannah, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this sweet child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. If so, say we will.
We will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Hi. I hope y'all can see this sweet face, this big smile. What name have you given your daughter?
Ruby Iris.
Ruby Iris. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your friend and advocate all the days of your life. Yes, doesn't that make you happy? It makes us happy too. Now Pastor Nancy's going to come and lead us in a prayer for the Holy Spirit.
Ruby Iris, the Holy Spirit work within you, building a compassion for all of creation, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your amazing, beautiful life. Amen.
Amen. All right, Miss Ruby, you ready to go for a little walk? We're going to go down the center aisle so you can get a closer look at your church family and all of these folks who love you already. And they are about to make a really important promise to you. They take it very seriously that part of their job is to love you and to teach you about God and to follow Jesus. And some of them are going to be Sunday school teachers and some youth guidance counselors. And one of them is going to be your confirmation mentor. Wonder who it's going to be. Got a few years before that comes around. But until then, we're going to do everything we possibly can to help you know how much God loves you and always will. So let's listen as they make their promise.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, stand, and face Ruby Iris. Now, it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Ruby Iris to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Ruby Iris, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join with me in the prayer for illumination that's found in your bulletin. Awakening God, stir our imagination by the power of your Holy Spirit, that in receiving your word, we might walk humbly toward the new world of mercy and justice you are creating in our midst. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite any children who are here to come up and join me if you'd like to. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a little bit of a moment together. Come on up. I'm so glad to see you. Oh, there are more of you than I thought. Good morning, Maggie. I'm glad to see you. Penelope. Oh, that's beautiful and shiny. Wow. It's beautiful. All right, come on up. So happy to see everyone. Everybody's got their sweaters back on because it's cold again. But at least the sun is shining. Well, I want to talk a little bit today about feelings. We all have feelings, right? All different kinds of feelings. That's just part of being human, we have feelings. So let's think about, help me make a face for Ophelia, okay? Let's do a happy face. Happy face, yeah, that's good. What's another feeling? Sad, make a sad face. How about surprised? Oh, that's a good surprise face, yeah. How about angry, mad? Yeah, sometimes you get angry. Well, that's the one I want to talk a little bit about today. Wait, let's go back to happy. Let's end with a happy one. Okay, I want to talk just a little bit today about anger. Because in our story today, Jesus is a little bit angry. He's angry because he's gone to the temple to worship. And he sees that some people, especially poor people, are not being treated fairly. And it makes him angry. And so he speaks out. And that's important for me to hear, and I think maybe for you to hear, that sometimes, I mean, we get angry. Our feelings come and go. That's just the way it is. But what's important is for us to think about, why am I angry? And sometimes we're angry because there's something wrong that's happening, and we need to speak up, and we need to do what's right. So next time you feel angry, take a deep breath and think, okay, why am I angry? Am I angry because something is wrong and I need to say something? Or am I just angry because someone else took the bigger cookie? That's something else altogether. But it's okay to feel angry sometimes and to pray about it and maybe talk with the grown-up about why you're feeling angry and see if there's something you need to do about it. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the stories of Jesus that tell us that he got happy and he got sad and he even got mad sometimes. But when he was angry, it was because of what he believed was right. And so help us to see when sometime we might need to speak out because something's not right. We thank you for the courage you give us and always the love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you are 3, 4, and 5, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Miss Tammy, and the rest can go back to your seats. All right, well, you still get to go to Children's Church. Okay. This past week on Ash Wednesday, Pastor Shannon Baxter preached about those verses in the prophet Micah that are on the front of our bulletin. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 in particular, where the prophet says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy or love kindness and to walk humbly with God?" And that is going to be our theme throughout the whole season of Lent. We're going to spend 2 weeks diving in a little bit to biblical justice. And what does it mean that God calls us to be people of justice? And then we'll spend a couple of weeks looking at mercy and kindness and how we're called to live out God's invitation to kindness and mercy. And then the last 2 weeks, we'll be talking about walking with God in humility and the steady practices that help us walk with God. Initially, I thought about flipping these because it seems like we walk with God, we show mercy, and then we move toward justice. But this is the way the prophet Micah lined it up. And so we're jumping into the deep end at the very beginning of Lent to talk about justice. And what is justice? What is biblical justice? What is the kind of justice that God calls us to? Justice is one of those words out in our culture these days that feels rather fraught and sends people in different directions. But the scriptures are very clear throughout the Hebrew scriptures and the New Testament that God is a God of justice. "Let justice roll down like waters," says the prophet. "I have come to preach good news to the poor," says Jesus. So what does it mean that we are called to justice? And what's the difference between justice and mercy? Well, there are several things over the years that have helped me understand the difference and the connection between justice and mercy. When we talk about mercy, it helps me to frame those things as the ways that we meet the immediate needs of the world. "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat," says Jesus. "I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you gave me clothing." Those things that we do as a congregation to feed the hungry, to house the unhoused, at Room in the Inn, to build habitat houses, to meet those immediate needs. And then justice is that work that we do when we step back and we start asking questions. Why are people hungry? Why are there so many people behind bars in prison? What is happening in our education system? Why doesn't everybody have access to healthcare? We start asking the questions and looking at our culture, our structures, our systems, our laws, our policies to see, is there something wrong? Is there something we can change to make our world a better place for everyone's flourishing? Several years ago, Bishop Peter Story from South Africa was our preacher at annual conference. And he gave an example that really stuck with me and was very helpful for me. He said, you know, we know the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's very familiar to most of us. The Samaritan is walking down the Jericho road and he sees there's a man who's been beaten up and left for dead. And so he goes over, he tends the man's wounds, he puts him on his horse, takes him to a safe place, pays for his hotel room. That's mercy. That's showing kindness, something to which we are all called. But what would happen, said Peter Story, if the next day the man was walking down the road and there was a different person beat up on the side of the road? And the next day, and the next day, if this was a chronic problem, would he not begin to ask the question, now what's going on this Jericho Road? What's causing all of these people to be in danger? What's the structural, societal problem? And can I do something about it? The beautiful thing is that we are called to both. We are a both and people as the people of God. Now, as individuals, there are some of us who are called particularly to ministries of mercy. That's our gift. That's our sweet spot, going out and feeding or visiting the prisons or sitting with someone who's in the hospital. That's our gift set. For others of us individually, we have the gifts to look at systems and to go down to the legislature and talk with our lawmakers about how to make our laws and our policies more just. We can't all do it all. But as a people, as a congregation, we are a both-and people. And that fits right in with our good old Methodist DNA. I was with some friends not too long ago, and a Presbyterian colleague said, you Methodists talk about John Wesley a lot. I was like, because he was amazing. We love John Wesley. He wasn't a saint, and he wasn't divine, but he was brilliant. And John Wesley preached a lot and talked a lot and lived into both mercy and justice. He fed the hungry. He set up a school for the children of coal miners. He offered a clinic for free health care for the poor. He did all of these things to meet the immediate needs of the people in his city. And he also was a thorn in the side of Parliament. He was a very vocal advocate of abolition of slavery. He advocated for prison reform and the safety of workers and miners. He did a lot to make the society in which he lived more just for everyone. So as Methodists, we are both and people. And Jesus was both and. This morning, we find Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem. And as I was reading about this text, I learned something that I had never noticed before. Fame Perkins, in her commentary, pointed this out. It's obvious now that she pointed it out. In the first 10 chapters of Mark's gospel, Jesus is traveling around Galilee and on his way to Jerusalem. And in that time in his ministry, he is meeting the needs of those who come before him. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. He's teaching. Whoever comes to him, he meets them where they are, and he works for healing and reconciliation. He confronts authorities also in those times, but primarily he's in a ministry of mercy. And then he gets to Jerusalem, and after he arrives in Jerusalem, there are no more healing stories in Mark's gospel. The only miracle that happens after chapter 10 is the cursing of the fig tree and the resurrection, of course. But from chapter 11 on, Jesus is in the temple causing trouble. He's confronting the authorities. He's pointing out the hypocrisy and the injustice of the temple system. And it starts in this text that we've just heard. So let's look a little bit at what is going on in the temple. What exactly has made Jesus so angry and inspires him to speak out? So in the temple, there's a big area when you first walk in called the Court of the Gentiles. This is where everyone is welcome. You don't have to be Jewish, male, female, everybody's welcome in the Court of the Gentiles to come and pray and worship. Beyond that is the Court of the Women, and then beyond that is the court where only Jewish men could go. Now, through our 21st century eyes, we might see some injustice in that, but that was not what Jesus was addressing on that day. What he saw when he entered the court of the Gentiles were all of these tables set up. Now let's take, for example, Mary and Joseph. When Jesus is 8 days old, Mary and Joseph travel to Jerusalem to worship and to make their sacrifices, the rites of purification that Mary would have had to go through. Because they were poor, they would have had to sacrifice turtle doves. They couldn't afford anything else. But they likely wouldn't have traveled all the way from their home with turtle doves. So they would need to get them at the temple. The first thing, Joseph would have to exchange his Roman coins that he'd been paid with for coins that were accepted in the temple. because the Roman coins had the image of the emperor on them. That was a graven image. They weren't allowed in the temple. So there was a money exchange. And the high priestly families got to set the exchange rate, whatever they wanted. It's like changing your money in the airport. You're not going to get a good rate. And so chances were these high priestly families were making a little bit of money off of these travelers. And Mark specifically mentions the doves. They're making their money on the backs of the poor who are coming into the temple to worship, to seek God's love and forgiveness and grace. And they're being exploited for profit. So you have the money changers, you have those who are selling the doves and the animals who could set whatever price they wanted. And the Jewish historian Josephus even called the high priest Ananias the great procurer of money. He had a reputation for jacking up the prices. So Jesus walks into the temple and he sees all of these people, most of them poor, exchanging money and buying these animals because they have no other choice. Can you feel it? Can you feel the anger at that? That the authorities, the religious authorities, are putting these obstacles in the way of people, limiting their access to God until they pay their poll, they pay their tax, they pay what they're supposed to pay. And Jesus is infuriated. And so he turns over, he makes a huge scene. This is a public demonstration. And he says, "You have turned what is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations into a den of robbers." He steps into that space and he claims his authority. And it says he would not allow anyone to walk through the temple carrying anything. I wonder if he had his disciples doing a little sit-in to make sure nobody was walking through the temple. It's not until the next day, but when the religious authorities confront him, they basically say, "Who do you think you are? On whose authority are you doing this?" Of course, we know he's speaking for his Father. He is speaking for God, whose house this is. And they're making money off of the poor. So I hear this story of Jesus, and I'm inspired, and I'm energized, and I'm uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but I'm much more comfortable just staying with acts of mercy. I think I'm one of those people who naturally is a fit for acts of mercy, being with, sitting by the bedside, feeding the hungry, visiting the prisons, all of those things. It is not as natural to me to be someone who stands up for justice, who speaks out in the public square, who goes down to the legislature. But I knew when I was called to West End in 2017 that this was a church situated in the heart of the city with a voice, and that I and we would be called on from time to time to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for God's justice in our world. And we're just 10 minutes from the legislature, and y'all, there are bills coming through the legislature that scare me and hurt my heart. And I feel called as the people of God to speak up for God's justice. Now, I know some will say that sounds like a political agenda, that sounds like a partisan agenda. But God's justice does not belong to one party or another, my friends. God's justice has been God's agenda long before there were Democrats and Republicans, long before anybody was ever in the White House, long before there was a United States of America, long before John Wesley was doing his ministries in the 18th century. This has always been the call of the people of God. And the church is called to be above and beyond any particular political party. No matter who is in the White House or who has a majority in the legislature, we are called to speak out and stand up for God's justice, for the flourishing of all people, for compassion. And it's hard, and it scares me to death, and I don't know how to do it, but I want to learn. And we do have people in our midst and in our city who can help us learn. But we must continue to stay on our knees and pray, to discern what it is we're called to do and how we're called to speak and when we're called to speak, and how we do that in love and courage, grounded in the authority of Christ and nothing else. You know, they say courage is not the absence of fear, it's recognizing your fear, but doing what is right anyway. So, my friends, I don't know all the different ways that God is calling us to work for justice in our community and in our world. But I see Jesus in the temple, and I see West End shining the loving light of Christ in our city. And I just wonder how we are called to turn over the tables. Amen.
In reflection and affirmation of our faith, will you stand and join me in reciting the affirmation found in your bulletin? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew rack in front of you. You can fill these out and place them in the offering plates as they are passed. Please take note, in your bulletin there are prayer requests. If you will keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. And as we pray together this day, let us remember and mourn with our beloved church family, offering comfort as we ask the Lord for peace in the lives of Stan and Rebecca Burcham and their family, as they mourn the death of Stan's mother, Peggy Vanderford, who passed away February 12th in Corinth, Mississippi. Services were held there on Thursday, February 15th. We also grieve with Carolyn, Matt, Anna, and Ruth von Lunen, who are mourning the death of Matt's great aunt, Ruth Hooper. She passed away in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on February 3rd. A small gathering of family will be held in Pennsylvania at a later date. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, our beloved, we come this February morning to your house as invited and welcomed guests. We do not take that invitation nor welcome for granted. You've bid us come. You've set us a place at your table. You created everything in the cosmos, blades of grass and blue whales, protons and polar bears, and somehow in the midst of all of this creation, you care for each of us and allow us to come before you in prayer. We bring to you our pain and our anxiety, our grief over the ones who have died, our hope for the future, our gratitude for this day and this place. God, you give us the ability to be with one another and to feel empathy. We know things aren't just. We know things aren't working for our neighbors. They are going hungry. They are without housing. They are cold. If they work, they make too much money to access the assistance they need, but they make too little to pay for what they need. They need an address to work and work to have an address. They need documentation to cross the border and work, and they need work to get that documentation to cross the border. We find small and insidious ways for injustice, for racism, for sexism, for ableism to persist. And while it feels more comfortable to point outward, we recognize that the tables Jesus flipped were in the church itself. Give us holy boldness to look at the log in our own eyes. Give us courage to flip over tables where we see injustice. Give us wisdom to know the right way forward to repair and reparation. Help us to not only learn the histories of marginalized people, but work to undo the harm done. Restore us to right relationships with one another and with you. Lord, we commit ourselves to holy disruption today and always. May your love strengthen us to endure the good trouble necessary to liberate all your children. May your wisdom guide us as we work to create a world full of compassion, grace, and justice, a world where love is the law of the land. In the name of your Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen, while here in the sanctuary, we will pass the plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
the benediction, I want to give thanks to God for the gifts of our own Dean McIntyre, who wrote the words of that closing hymn. And also to let you know, the hymn of our benediction song, the tune can be found on page 441 of your hymnals. We'll be singing it throughout the weeks of Lent together. But let us go forth now with the example of Christ and the words of the prophet to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.